This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Our second night of Jesus at the Center. Again, we welcome you to Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church's Evangelism Week, our second night at Jesus at the Center. We have great things planned for you this evening, and we thank you for joining us. We thank you for joining us. For those of you who are here in South Florida, for those of you who are joining us from the islands, throughout the United States and around the world, thank you for making this night and this week your time with us here. We also welcome those of us who are here presently in the sanctuary to support this evangelism. We have great things coming your way. As you have seen throughout the last 2 years, there have been several layouts, and this one is no different. We have a dynamic speaker. We have a panel question, a panel forum. We have excellent special music. And so at this time, Pastor Kevin, will you join me up here and help me tell everyone what it is that they can possibly win when they send in their names online? What are the things that they can win this week?
They can win a laptop. And we have a few tablets, not the ones that Moses wrote on and then God wrote on. We're talking about... we have wonderful gifts available. And we're inviting you to come on in, text to the pastor's line, the theme for the night, and your name. Your name tonight, the theme is stewardship, so I'm giving you that one, right? We're talking about stewardship, so text stewardship to the pastor's line, 954-388-8780. That's what I'm talking about. So text it to the pastor's line, and you have the chance to win a laptop.
Two tablets,
and
there's some surprises.
We can't give that away. Don't give it away.
Exactly.
Right? So surprises are here, and you can win. That's what we want you to know.
Exactly. Join us. Text your name to stewardship so that you have a chance. Your names will be collected throughout the week.
So Pastor Jen,
yes.
What if I text 10 times? Does that give me a better chance?
No, because the internet goes so fast. You can text 100 times and they will not give you, we will not give you 100 entries.
Only one.
But hey, you know, if you have a big family, then you can put all...
All their names.
But if we happen to call your family member's name, they have to be the one to come and claim it.
Good.
Right? So you can't text a number of your family member that's all the way up in Canada.
Okay.
Or something.
Okay.
You know, they have to be present in your household to come and claim it.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Pastor Kevin, can you open us up in prayer?
Sure, definitely. Let us pray together and acknowledge God's Spirit in our presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Spirit of God, your Spirit is with us, and we acknowledge your Spirit among us. So all we ask is for your Spirit to move among us, open our hearts and our minds to your presence, and help us to focus on Jesus, to make him the center of our worship today, and hopefully and eventually the center of our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It is my pleasure to invite to the stage a group that many of you know if you are here in South Florida or if you know them from around the islands. But if you have not had the opportunity to hear this beautiful blended, the beautiful blended voices of this quartet, it is my privilege to invite up the Edwards Quartet.
One, two, check. Good evening once again, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening, Plantation. Good evening to the online audience. I hope you are happy to be here. The words of the song says, come all ye weary, come all who are thirsty.
Amen.
What else, Nicole? come to the well that never runs dry.
Hallelujah.
We know that God is there for us.
Yes.
And the song is entitled, For God So Loved the World.
Amen.
Dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all ye sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Down at the foot of the cross, Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. God so loved, God so loved the world. His one and only Son to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting, God so loved the world.
Amen, amen, amen. You saw Nicole, Marsha, Jean, and Andre. And I know that you all are hard to book because you have so many singing engagements, and we are just privileged to have you to ourselves this evening. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let me once again reiterate our theme for this week. Jesus at the center of crisis, with tonight's focus being on Jesus at the center of the crisis in our finances. It is a privilege for me to introduce to you our speaker of this evening, my friend, my colleague, a man of God, Pastor Charles Possenried. Pastor Charles is currently the pastor of Jupiter and West Palms West SDA churches here in Florida. He has been a Seventh-day Adventist for the past 44 years, but 23 of those years he has been serving as a pastor. Some of those years he has served in Michigan, others he has served in New York, but for the past 18, he has served here in Florida. His experience in ministry, both as a layperson and as a pastor, has taught him what it takes to really reach the men and women of God and to have an understanding of how it is to bring them to know him. Because of this, his passion lay in friendship evangelism. And he believes that making friends for Jesus in our everyday lives is the most effective way to reach and win souls. In fact, in a conversation that I previously had with him, he told me of what you're doing in Jupiter and the fact that he goes out with his church members to evangelize to those on the streets and those in the parks. And you just recently, was it yesterday, brought them into your church. And so, amen. Can I hear an amen to that? He recently, yesterday, brought them in. And so we pray, and we know that God is leading him in this special direction, and we pray for his leadership in that way for what he's doing there in Jupiter. He and his wife, Barbara, have been married for 32 years and have three grown adult children, Carolyn, Charles Douglas, and George Robert. He is an avid golfer. I have seen this in person because we pastors went on a golfing day at Top Golf. I was terrible, but I learned a lot from my colleagues. I wish it could say this, that I learned a lot in swings, but I was terrible. But Pastor Charles has a handicap of 11, and he's working on getting that into the single digits. Pastor Charles loves God. He loves the work that God has called him to do, and it's my privilege and honor to have you give the word tonight.
Sing Jesus at the center of it all. Baptist Church.
Jesus, be the center of your church.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's nice to be here at the Plant. I haven't been here in quite a while. It may have been about 5 years. The last time I was here was the last day when you had the send-off for Pastor Michael Cabana. And so I was here that day. But we're best friends, you know. I talk to him several times a week. So. But he'll be asking me about my experience here this evening. But anyway, no, it's great to be here, and also thankful to see Jennifer and Kevin, and is Pastor Marsh here? Not yet, right? You know, we're good buddies too. You know, me, we've been on trips together and room together and stuff like that. So, you know, Pastor Marsh is a great guy too. So, but I'm thankful to be here. But my presentation this evening is the panel discussion. No. I guess I pushed the wrong one. Press down and running over. But I always like to have a prayer before I begin, because who am I to speak for God? But I don't want to speak for him. I want him to speak through me. Amen?
Amen.
So let's have a little prayer and ask Jesus to speak to all of us tonight. Let's pray. Dear kind Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for another day of life. We're thankful that we can be here this evening. We're thankful that people can be tuned in online. And Lord, tonight we just want to hear what you have to say to us. It's not important what I say or what I think or what any of us think. What's important is what you think. So send the Holy Spirit tonight to be with us here in the church and be with the airwaves and the electromagnetic spectrum as it goes out amongst the signals and people receive it wherever they are. May your Holy Spirit minister to all of us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh boy, I tell you what, I got the best topic out of all the topics, I think, right? Yeah, I'm sure you're all thrilled. You probably had three times as many people here last night, and you'll probably have much more here tomorrow. But usually when you talk about stewardship, this is the reaction I've got over the years as a pastor. You know, people look at me and say, oh no, stewardship, you know. Let's go to First Church up in West Palm Beach this Sabbath. But anyway, I'm going to do my best to make it clear. Jesus at the center. I got it. So let's go. Now, you know, two of the most precious commodities that we have as human beings, after our health, because if you don't have your health, what do you have, right? But after our health, the two most precious commodities that we have is time and money. Now, there's debate over whether which is more precious to people. Some people say time is money, and it is. But let's see what the Word of God has to say about time and money. You know, God lays claim to a portion of our time and our money. Did you know that? It tells us in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, remember the what? Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is what? The Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why should we not do any work? And here's the reason. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So this is the portion of our time that God claims as his. 1/7 of our time out of 7 days of the week, God claims one as his, and he asks us to rest on it because he rested on that day. Now, just for clarification, you'd be surprised how many people don't realize that the Sabbath day is actually on the seventh day. And as many people don't know really what day the seventh day is. A lot of people assume it's Sunday, many people. But if you look in the dictionary plainly states that Saturday is the seventh day of the week and not Sunday. And also, if we look in the calendar, October 2021 we're in, right? Today is, the 10th. But yesterday was the 9th, and that was the seventh day of the week, Saturday. So yesterday, Saturday, was the Sabbath. Now, many people will say, well, isn't that part of the Old Covenant? Wasn't the seventh day Sabbath, Saturday, just for the Jews? Well, if we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, we will realize that the Sabbath predated Sinai. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he did what? He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So this seventh day is very special because God blessed it and he made it holy. He didn't do that with the other 6 days, but he specifically made the seventh day a holy day. And he rested on that day from all the work that he had done. Now, so we see that every Saturday, still, you know, when God blesses something, it's still blessed, isn't it? If you can show me in God's word when he unblessed the seventh day, hey, I'm all ears. But it doesn't say that. So the seventh day back in Genesis is blessed, and it's still blessed today in 2021. And now I just kind of throw you a little curveball here, and you're all Bible students, so I know I can't do that, but Mark 2:27. Is this the correct rendition of Mark 2:27? The Sabbath was made for Israel and not Israel for the Sabbath. Is that what the Bible says? What does it say? The Sabbath was made for who? This is Jesus now. We're talking about Jesus at the center of crises, right? Jesus said the Sabbath was made for who? Man, all mankind, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath day is a gift to us. It's not a liability, it's an asset. It's something that Jesus gave to us as a gift for all mankind to be blessed. Now, this is the day we worship, right? You were here yesterday in this sanctuary, this church. You worshiped here, and this is the day that God provided for us to do that. And the word church, ekklesia, in the original Greek, means gathering or assembling of people. And that's what we do on the seventh day. But you know, that's not all what we should do on the seventh day, is it? What else should we do on the seventh day? Come to church, yes. And worship God and praise him, yes, like we did yesterday morning. But what else? We ought to get out in nature. You know, here in South Florida, we had a hot summer, didn't we? And it's like, you know, the summer we have down here is like the winter they have up north. You know, it's kind of a trade-off. But I'll take the hot summers rather than the cold winters, right? But this is also the time of the year. It's getting a little cooler, lower humidity. It's good to get out on a Sabbath. You know, someone called nature God's second book. This is his first book, but nature is his second book. Amen? So we ought to take advantage and get out and see the beauty of nature. Commune with God. Bring our children outside. Don't keep them in church from sunrise to sunset. You know, I tell you that. If I was a little kid, I wouldn't like that, would you? No. Get them outside. And, you know, dad's off, mom's off. Take the kids. Take them to the park. Take them down to the ocean. And show them what the Sabbath day should really be, how it should be observed. And not only that, but here's the clincher. Here's the clincher. As far as God wanting us, he claims 1/7 of our time as his. It's an asset. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 58. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor seeking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to what? Ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So if we honor God by observing that day which he designated us to rest on, to worship on, to experience family time and get out in nature together and socialize with people and witness to people, then God says if we do that, he will cause us to ride upon the high places of the earth. One of the greatest promises in the whole Bible is in connection with observance of the seventh day of the week. Can you say amen? And you know, the promise is those who observe the Sabbath, not those who know about it or try to argue about it and try to change it, but those who observe it, God will bless. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, so high places of the earth. Now, I don't know what that means, but it's got to be good. If God said it, I'll take it. High places of the earth, hey, that sounds pretty good to me. All right, so God not only lays claim on 1/7 of our time, but he also lays claim on a portion of our finances, our money, our increase, our possessions. It tells us here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring ye all the what, church? The tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will what? Here's another great promise, if we honor God with our first fruits, with our tithing, it says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. High places of the earth when we dedicate 1/7 of our time to God, right? And rest on that seventh day. And now if we return our tithe to God, he will open up the windows of heaven, pour us out a blessing, we will not be able to receive it. Are you experiencing these blessings in your life? Oh, don't miss out on it. Here again, it's not a liability, it's an asset. It's a blessing that God wants for the entire human race. Now, a tithe simply means one-tenth of something. Unfortunately, back in the Garden of Eden, and the reason for the tithe, I'm going to explain it very quickly now because my time is limited. Back in the Garden of Eden, you remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of it. Unfortunately, they ate of it, right? And God said, if you eat of it, you're going to die. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 21-22, after they ate of the fruit, it says they knew that they were naked. And what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Never had any embarrassment of being naked in front of each other, as a husband and wife shouldn't, but now they are. So they try to cover themselves up with these big fig leaves, which were quite big back in those days. And it said, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make what? Coats of skins and clothed them. Therefore the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. See, when they sinned, God said they should have died. But God in his great love decided to supply a substitute. And that eventually would be Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary for the sins, not only for Adam and Eve, but for all the sins of the world, including yours and mine. So God symbolically had to put an animal to death, or animals, and clothe Adam and Eve with the skin so that they would see the severity of this their sin. They should have died, but the animal died as their substitute, and they were clothed with those animal skins. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There must have been shedding of blood. A death had to occur because God means what he says, and he says what he means. And when he said, thou shalt surely die, a death had to take place in that animal sacrifice. And remember Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's two sons. Cain brought the first fruits of the crops. He was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. He brought the firstlings of his flock, sacrificed the blood sacrifice. But Cain thought that those fruits and vegetables, hey, listen, a vegan diet is good, but not as a sacrifice. And so God didn't pay any attention to that. He said, no, you must bring a blood sacrifice. And so God did not accept Cain, but he accepted Abel's sacrifice. You see, and then later on, Melchizedek, Genesis 14, verses 18 to 20. He was a priest. He was a priest of the Most High God. And he, Abraham, the father of many nations, he gave him tithes of all. You see, by this time now, the priesthood had developed. From that first sacrifice back in the Garden of Eden to clothe Adam and Eve with those animal skins. Now, there was priests that officiated like that. And Melchizedek is mentioned at the first one. And this may be a little hard, but this is the patriarch family tree here. You start, I'm going to just go back there. Can you go back to that slide real quick? It's a patriarch tree, and you start with Noah, and then you go down to Methuselah, who knew Adam. Methuselah knew Adam. He was the grandfather of Noah. And Noah, Methuselah was the great-grandfather of, if I can see that, yeah, Shem. There I go, right? You got Japheth, Ham, and Shem. He knew Shem, and Shem knew Abraham. So I just mentioned four people. You got Adam, you got Methuselah, you got Shem, and you got Abraham. So the sacrificial system of blood sacrifice was passed down from generation to generation. And by the time we got to Abraham, he knew what that meant. And that's why he paid his tithe to Melchizedek, because that was Melchizedek's job, to take that blood sacrifice in as an atonement for the sins of the people, even in Abraham's day. Now, his grandson Jacob knew about that. And Jacob said, Lord, if you bless me, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you, his grandfather. You see, the knowledge of the Sabbath day, one-tenth of our time dedicated to God, and one-tenth of our income dedicated to God, those were passed down from the very Garden of Eden into today, even to today's life, in today's world. So Jacob paid his tithe, and then we had the sacrificial system. First in the wilderness with the tent, and then in Solomon's temple and Herod's temple. And they would officiate, and those tithes were to support the priesthood in their work. And it tells us here in Numbers chapter 18, 21 and 24, God said, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance. You see, they didn't have regular jobs. They didn't go out and farm. They didn't go out and herd sheep or cattle. What their job was is to just officiate in the temple, and the tithe was to support them in their livelihood. And it goes on to say, the tithes of the children of Israel I have given to the Levites to inherit. That's all the income they have, was the tithe of the people to support them in that ministry. Are you with me, church? All right, are you with me? Now, what did the Apostle Paul say in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? What's he talking about here? He's talking about the Old Testament Levite priesthood in the sanctuary, isn't he? And he goes on to say, even so, he goes on to say, in the New Testament times, has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should also live of the gospel. Can you say amen? So this principle of tithing, God's claim on one-tenth the portion of our income to support ministers in the gospel ministry, is still in effect today in the New Testament. Now, I'll quickly go on here now. If you give one tithe dollar, do you know where that goes? 34.6 cents goes to support pastors in the ministry. Pastor Kevin, Pastor Jennifer, myself, Pastor Marsh, all of the pastors all around the world. And all of the men you see up on the screen there now would not have a job unless you and I, and pastors pay tithe too, were faithful in returning our tithe and offerings. You wouldn't be able to watch those ministers. You wouldn't be able to have a preacher here. So we support all of those ministers. 24.7 cents goes to education. Do you have a school here? What's the name of it? Sawgrass Elementary School, right? Tithe goes to support the teachers who teach here in this school. So not only that, but Southern Adventist University, Greater Miami Academy, Oakwood College, all of that is supported by your tithe dollar. 4.8 cents goes to youth ministries. Have you ever been up to Camp Kalakwa? Right? That's supported by your tithe dollar. Pathfinders, adventurers, youth evangelism, all of that. 1.3 cents goes to literature and publishing. Do you like some of our books that we have published? Desire of Ages, Steps to Christ, Great Controversy. All of these books are made possible by your and mine tithe dollars. So that's 65.4 cents 34.6 cents is left over, and that equals a dollar, and you got administrative, evangelism, missions, and education, foreign missions, and the like. That's what your one tithe dollar does. But the Bible also talks about tithe and offerings. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? You see, there came a time when the children of Israel were not returning a faithful tithe to God and giving offerings. And the Levites, which were sustained by that tithe, that was their livelihood to support themselves and their families, they were no longer able to work in the temple. They had to go back out in the fields to become farmers. So God said through the prophet Malachi, he said, will a man rob God? And the people said, yet you have robbed me. But they said, wherein have we robbed you? They said, we're robbing you how? God was plain and he said, in your tithe and offerings. That's why the Levites are out in the fields and not in the sanctuary. And if they're not in the sanctuary, there's no atonement for your sins. And how much should we give? We know 10% is our tithe. How much for our offering? It says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposes in his what? In his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Here again, sometimes we look at the one-seventh of our time on the Sabbath and also one-tenth of our income and offerings to God. Am I kind of banging this around a little bit? I'm okay, yeah. I'll try to be a little more calm here. Anyway. But we think as a liability again. Oh, what a drag. I don't have the money this week, or you know, I'm a little tired, you know. And I remember I talked to a guy once, and he was working on the Sabbath, and he goes, well, you can't blame a man for trying to feed his family. Listen, God is the one who feeds us, amen? What about the children of Israel in the wilderness? God provided manna from heaven for them. They would have starved without it. But God, 6 days, rained that manna down and gave them a double portion on Friday so they didn't have to go out on the Sabbath day. Don't ever think that you can feed yourself and take care of your family better than God can you say amen? God is the one who supplies our needs, and he will save you and your family if you are faithful to him. It says, don't give grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. My question to you tonight, and those who are watching online, are you a cheerful giver? Let's be a cheerful giver. What do you say? All right, I got to hurry now here. So, you know, you couldn't have a church here if you didn't give offerings. The tithe doesn't go to the church to pay the electric bill. And my, do you have some electric bill as I look around here? Man alive. Pretty soon you're not going to have enough room for people. You got so many cameras and monitors around here. I'm just teasing a little bit. I see you're building a room back there. That's good. You know, when I came here 5 years ago, you had like a third of this stuff. But now I come in here and man, I'm live. I said, you know, am I at the Kravis Center or something? But anyway, no, it looks great. You're doing a great job here. But you got heating, you got the lighting bill, you got electricity, you got the water bill. If you don't give an offering on top of your tithe, this nothing exists by itself. Do you live in your house rent-free? Do you get a water bill? Do you get an electric bill? Do you got to pay insurance, hurricane, wind insurance? Come on. That's why this church exists. Do you like this church? Give an offering, and then you'll be able to keep it. Amen? Come, I got to hurry up now because Jennifer's waving stuff around back there, but I'm going to hurry up now. Did they cut me off? Next slide. Come on, let's go. Help me back there. Someone, help me. Okay. Let's force it through. Is there anybody get a next slide there? No? Did it freeze up? It froze up. But Nikki is great back there. There we go. We all got to carry our load, you know? Come on, man. I'm nothing special. I'm not Mark Finley. I'm no Doug Batchelor or Dwight Nelson or anything like that, man. I'm just Charlie from Queens. You heard of Jenny from the Bronx? Well, I'm Charlie from Queens, you know? We all got to carry our load. It's just common sense. It's not rocket science. When we get a paycheck, the first thing we ought to do is send our tithe check. And that's like old school, right? But now we could go online, right? AdventistGiving.org. My wife does it every time I get paid. I always ask her, did you pay the tithe? She goes, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I don't even want to worry about it. There's nothing worse than having somebody else's money in your pocket. You know, because then you get tempted to spend it, don't you? You know, I don't. If anybody ever wants to give me money, he says, "Will you hold on to this?" Says, "No, no, 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 because I might go by the PGA store and see that nice new pink driver in the window, and I don't want to be tempted. So you keep your money, and I'll keep mine. Amen." So let's give God His money that He asked for. You see, 1/7 of our time, 1/10 of our income. These are the blessings that God has given us, and it tells us here in Scripture as we go to the next slide. High places of the earth. Windows of heaven. How about it? Do you want those blessings? Do you have the faith to have those blessings? Or are you saying, "Oh, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know. It's hard." What does the Bible say in Luke 6:38? What did Jesus say? The center of this week is Jesus Christ. He said, "Give," Jesus said, "and it shall be what? Given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it shall be measured back to you again." I remember the old evangelist, Pastor C.D. Brooks. You remember him? What a great preacher. Great man of God, won thousands to the kingdom. And I remember someone came up to him and said one day, he said, "Pastor Brooks, I can't afford to pay my tithe." And he said, "You can't afford not to." You see, because it's God who blesses us. Now, I want to do this quick little illustration. Do I have 5 minutes? Do I have 5 minutes? 5 minutes, okay. I got 5 minutes. Listen, I got $10 in my pocket here. Really, it's only six, but I'm going to make believe one of the dollars is a $5 bill, okay? So, okay, I got $10 here, right? So, now, how much is my tithe? Got $10, how much is my tithe? $1, there it is. Woo, am I done? I got $9, man. Here I go to the PGA store, right? Buy some golf balls. Can't buy much, but I could buy, refurbished ones. Okay, so am I done? Am I done, church? Am I done? I paid my tithe. Oh, I'm not done yet. You mean I got to pay some offering to the church? This church here in Plantation? Yeah. With all these monitors and cameras and projectors and... Okay, oh, man. We're going to... 50 cents. Is that too much? I got $10. If I got $10, is that a sacrifice to give 50 cents to the church? Okay, give 50 cents to the church. What about the conference? Oh, the conference. The conference? Are you kidding? No, the conference. Okay. Can I give if I have $10, can I give a nickel to the conference? And how about, well, I tell you what, I'm going to give the conference a dime, okay? I'll be generous. $10, gonna get the conference, and you know, Dr. Machado, he'll like me if I do that, right? And the world, right? All over the world, I'll give a nickel. And how about if I donate 3 cents to the school? Jennifer's laughing, right? They'll keep your kids in school, right, Jennifer? Okay. Now I got 5, 6, 7. $8.35 left.
Rich.
I'm rich. Why am I rich, Jennifer?
Because Jesus is going to take care of you.
Amen.
Because $8.35 with God's blessing is better than $10 without it.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, this is not rocket science. The gospel is good news, not bad news. It's good news. And everything you asked us to do is good news. Dedicating 1/7 of our time to you, Lord. But by the way, it's more than that. It's all our time. But specifically, you said to rest in a special way on that seventh day. That's not a problem. That's a privilege. It's a blessing. Returning 1/10 of our increase and giving some liberal offerings to the church here, to the conference, to the world, and to the school here. That's not a problem. That's a privilege, and that's a blessing. So, Lord, I'd simply like to ask today, we could all do better. We could all do better. I included. So I'm simply going to ask, dear Lord, that if we want to do better, if we want to be obedient by your grace to observing that day of rest, that seventh day, the Sabbath day, and we want to be faithful in returning the tithe because you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. If you were hungry, you wouldn't even tell us. You don't need it, but you ask it because it helps us to develop our faith and trust in you. So, Lord, if we're willing to observe that seventh day and to return our 1/10 and our tithe and also an offering as we see fit, I just pray that people would raise their hand where they are. Is that too hard to do for Jesus? We recommit ourselves to you, dear Lord, and ask that you would give us that blessing of the Sabbath and give us the blessing of returning our tithe, the high places of the earth, in opening up the windows of heaven. We believe it. We have faith. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Even when we are not faithful, he is faithful. So we're going to declare he is faithful. All you, church, let's get ready to worship. Let's get ready to worship. He's faithful. He's faithful. All right, here we go. I need y'all to sing real big for me. Somebody say faithful.
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 There you go. Somebody say faithful.
Faithful,
I see you.
Faithful, faithful is our God.
He is faithful,
faithful,
so faithful.
Faithful, faithful.
All right, here we go. I'm reaping the harvest. Here we go.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised.
Take back what the devil.
Take back what the
yes,
devil
yes.
stole from me.
Yes, I rejoice today. For I shall recover. I declare it today, yes.
Yes,
today.
For I shall.
For I shall
recover.
Let's take that up and let's declare that he's holy.
Holy. Holy. Holy. Holy is our God.
He is holy.
Holy.
He is holy.
Holy. Holy is our
oh, we're singing. We're singing. He's holy.
Holy.
He's holy. Church, come on, church. Oh, oh, Jesus. Oh,
Jesus.
Somebody's got to declare the name of Jesus. Oh,
Jesus.
We miss you.
Here we go.
I'm a reaper. Hallelujah. Take back.
Thank you for testing. All right. Thank you for Pastor Charles. Thank you for that wonderful sermon. Now is the time for our panel discussion. And for if this is the first time that you have joined Jesus at the Center ever in the last 3 years that we have put this on, you know, it's the first time for you to know that you can text your questions to our pastor's line at 954-388-8780. Text any of the questions that you may have had as you listen to Pastor Charles this evening. Text it to 954-388-8780. Yes, that is the line that I gave you to also text your name and stewardship to be counted for the raffle. So now we are going to go into our panel discussion. I have, of course, with me Pastor Charles Possenry. We also have Sister Sylvia Brown. She is a member of Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, and Amen. Also, not only is her first career as a registered nurse, but currently she is an insurance and financial services agent. Mm. We also have Elder Alex Graham, and he is also a member of Plantation, Amen. And he is a financial life manager and registered investment advisor. So as you can see, we have people on the panel who are well-versed in how we can properly spend and be good stewards of our finances. And so some questions have already come in, and I will direct this to you, Pastor Charles, and then if Sister Sylvia and Elder Alex, if you also want to jump in on any answers, you're free to do so. Pastor Charles, there's a question that says this based on your talk tonight. You mentioned that God wants 1/7 of our time mm-hmm. and 1/10 of our money. Mm-hmm. God dwells in eternity and owns everything.
That's right.
So why does God need it, and why is it important for us to give it?
Well, I'd like to say a prayer. Lord, be with my words and thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's not that God needs it per se, but he has designed a plan of salvation. And in that plan of salvation, there are certain things that take place. And in the Old Testament, it was the priesthood from the Garden of Eden. Then we saw Melchizedek and Abraham paying tithe and Jacob paying tithe and the Levite sanctuary. That wasn't a man-made idea. That wasn't man's idea. That was God's direction. God told Moses, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, a dwelling place. So the whole institution, the whole way of doing things, the tithe was God's plan to help that happen. And it also carries to the New Testament now. We no longer have the priesthood, but we have preachers, and we have teachers, and we have evangelists, and we have gifts of the Spirit. All of that is supplied by the tithe. So not only is that necessary for the gospel to be preached, but the establishment of churches is also, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, that gathering of people. In the New Testament, they organize churches. What about the seven churches in Revelation? So, you know, organization is a good thing. It's part of God's plan. Coming together, not just everybody haphazard going which way they want, but organization and accountability. You know, they laid hands on people. They, you know, ordained them. So this whole idea of church organization needs to be supported by the tithe. And not only that, but secondary, maybe even more importantly, it teaches us to trust God. You got to really trust someone if you're going to give them some money. You know, time and money is precious to us. We don't give it away easily. We don't spend time with people we don't want to spend time with. We don't give money to people. We don't give money to people we love, right? Our children, their birthday, our anniversary, whatever, to support them to go to school. So how much do we love God? Do we love him enough to give him time, our time and our means? And we give it to the people we love, and do we love God? So we should give it to him. It shouldn't be a problem. If it is a problem, then we need to say, how much do I really love God? You know, it's clear what he asks us to do. So I don't like to argue with God too much. I've tried that, and it doesn't work too good. And when I do keep the Sabbath, when I do observe the Sabbath, when I do return my tithe, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not, when I don't do those things, if I slip up a little bit here and there, then I don't feel good. And you know, I had a friend one time, he's a pro golfer, he said, Charles, and he's trying to look for the word because he taught a class on Saturdays. He goes, is there any, I said, you mean loophole?
To pay tithe and offering.
Yeah, I said, yeah, a loophole. I said, his name is Rusty. I said, Rusty, I looked, there's no loopholes. And I have looked. I've looked for the loopholes in the tithe. I looked for the loopholes in the Sabbath, and there's no loopholes. And so, you know, as human beings, you know, we don't want to do what we don't have to do, but so that, it's learning who God is. You see, we are so far away from faith, the littleness of our faith. Listen, we just got to get it through our heads that what God asks us to do, let's not try to fight against it or argue against it or explain it away or try to look for loopholes. Let's just embrace it and let God bless us.
You just said something. I didn't want to let it go. You just said something about God trusts, or you said something about you trust someone with money, right? You need to be trusted with that money. Yeah. So what about if someone were listening here tonight and said, well, I'm poor, so God doesn't trust me with my money, therefore I have little. Is this why I have little?
Now, the widow put in two mites, and Jesus said she put in more than everybody. You know, listen. If you only make $10 a day, you pay $1 a day in what you can in offering. If you make $1 million a day, what, you pay $100,000 tithe. See, it's all relative. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's fair with everybody. And both of my people up here on the stage could probably address that better than I can. So, you know, but you're making an investment. It's not for that purpose. You do it out of love, but it is an investment because the return is out of this world.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Dr. Alex, you're about to say something.
Yeah. No, what I find is that God wants us to participate. Because mm-hmm. God could do, he could pay all the pastors if he wanted to.
Yes, he could.
But he wanted us to be part of that experience. So we are participating in his work of spreading the gospel. So that's just a wonderful thing, to be laboring together with God to accomplish the great objectives that he has for us.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Sister Sylvia, do you have anything to add to that?
I just feel that...
Is that on? Go ahead, try again. Try again. Yeah.
Go ahead, stick it.
So it's very important for us to understand...
There you go.
It's very important for us to understand that everything belongs to God. I mean, we, you know, we are just managers of what we have. So nothing is really ours per se. So whatever God says he wants, it's amazing that he's blessing us with what we already do have. And we have so many blessings. So if he says, you know, I need a tenth so that we can help with other things in our community, then we should go ahead and do that.
Amen. Amen.
I have a family member years ago who is not a Christian and remarked on our way of tithing. And this family member said, this is all mine. I worked for it. I don't know God. God has done nothing for me. Yeah, therefore, why should I give it back to God? So how do you tell someone who doesn't know God, who doesn't have that ability or hasn't had that experience yet to be able to look back on their life and see where God has blessed? You're talking to someone straight off the street. How do you tell them about giving back?
You're not going to start with tithing if someone's just coming off the street and doesn't know God. Mm-hmm. That's not the place to start. You need to lead them to Jesus. And you see, it all goes back to love. Let me tell you, years ago, this is 30 years ago, over 30 years ago, I bought a vanilla thick shake malted, right? Mm-hmm. I bought a vanilla thick shake malted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you want her microphone? Yeah, okay. But anyway, I see hands waving, so. But do you all like malted?
Yes.
You like malted? No, I like malted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Love them.
You like sorrel, right? I like malted, right? Okay, so anyway. And rum cake, right? Yeah, sorrel and rum cake's great. But anyway, I like vanilla malted. And I bought one, and I put it in the freezer where I worked. And we lived upstairs, and we worked downstairs. I had other single guys there. And I went to my parents' house, about 6 miles, I rode my bike. And I left the malted in the freezer in the workplace. I didn't put it in my personal freezer, I put it in the workplace. And as I was driving back to the work, I realized that I had a friend who worked there, his name was Donald. And halfway back, I started thinking, you know, and I know Donald, he's like me. I said, Donald's probably gonna take that malted, that vanilla malted and drink it. So I started riding that bike fast, man. I gotta get back there before Donald gets my malted. I was getting, you know, really riding hard. And all of a sudden I felt God speak to me and said, if your brother, Douglas, was drinking the malted, would you be so frustrated and riding so fast? Mm. And I said, no, because he's my brother. Mm. So you see, I wasn't treating Donald like my brother with the love I have for my brother. I was just treating him somebody's gonna drink my malted. So I always remember that. It's, we do everything out of love.
Yep.
We give to each other and we give to God because we love God. And if we don't want to let God have our malted, how much do we really love him?
Okay. Sister Sylvia, I have a question for you. How does being a good steward affect the quality of our life?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Being a good steward, because, as I said before, we are managing everything that we have. We manage our families, we manage our jobs, our homes, our cars. So we have to manage all of that. That is not really ours. So being a good steward and planning and addressing all those things that we are supposed to take care of gives us a lot less stress. Mm-hmm. So if we plan early to take care of our families, to take care of our car, our home, then when a crisis hits, then we know that our family is okay because that was entrusted to us. So if our family is okay, we know that we can deal with any crisis. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important to be good stewards of everything that we have,
Amen.
Everything that's been entrusted to us.
Mm-hmm. I have another question here that I'll come back to you on that you would answer this best. Brother Alex, what, in your line of work, what would you say is the best way to invest?
You know, when I first started working in this industry, back in 1997, I discovered that the first key to investment success was allocation. Allocation? I never thought of that before. But if you get your statement and you look at it, you see a pie, typically. And that pie is broken up into the different types of things that you own. You could own 60% stocks and 35% bonds and 5% cash. But if you have a lot of cash, let's say the whole thing was invested in cash. You had sold your house, you had hundreds of thousands of dollars just sitting in the bank in cash. Then what kind of return does cash get right now? A fraction of a fraction of 1%, right? So is that the best way to allocate your assets, to have it sitting in cash? Probably not. But what about your life? What is the best way to invest your life? Is it to make $1 million? Nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm glad that when people do get to make $1 million and invest $1 million, is it to have the biggest house? Malachi 4 verse 1 tells us that all these things one day will be dissolved, they'll be burnt up. So yes, we need those things now, But if we invest in eternal life, if we lay up treasure in heaven,
mm-hmm.
then we have the kind of investment in your character, in your family, in your children, and helping them to have the right character that they will take with them to heaven. Then we've done the kind of investing that is the very best way to allocate our lives. That's how I look at it.
Amen. Thank you for that. Sister Sylvia, as a mother, and not only as in the line of work that you do, we have seen that the pandemic has, for many of us, crashed our finances. And I'm not sure where in conversation I heard it, but it was told to me that many of the breadwinners of families have passed away because of COVID and left nothing behind. What would you say, what's the best way, now that we can see exactly what can befall us, what is the best way to combat this, in your opinion?
And yeah, that's so true. And in my line of business, we've seen a lot of breadwinners pass away. This year, the last 2 years have been horrific. And there are some families that planned and some that didn't. And you know, there are families who were, living their lives, you know, day to day, paycheck to paycheck, and not thinking about what they needed to do in case their assets were diminished in some way. For example, if the breadwinner was to pass away, what would happen to the family? And it's important for breadwinners to think about that, because breadwinners are the stewards of their family. They're stewards of their job is to make sure that their family flourishes and does well. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we do in our agency is that we talk to folks about life insurance. Mm-hmm. Life insurance is very important. It's a nominal cost for that. I mean, they have different options. And what it does, it actually preserves the family. Mm-hmm. And it's important to plan early, because you don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know, you know, a lot of folks say that they leave it all to God. God will take care of them. But, you know, working with God is a partnership, right? Because God entrusts a lot of things to us. He blesses us, yes, but then there's a part for us to do as well. We need to, you know, use our knowledge and our resources to be able to make sure that we protect and preserve what He's entrusted to us. Mm-hmm. So life insurance is one way, okay? You could become sick or disabled. And we had a young man, 45 years old, and he was working on the roof. He fell through the roof and broke his back. Mm. Now, he was the breadwinner, and he became paralyzed. Mm. Now, the family was struggling because he had not made provisions. Mm. So now they lost their home. They had a lot of issues that subsequently affected their lives. Mm-hmm. So being a good steward, the breadwinner, it's really important that the breadwinner actually plans ahead. Planning early is key, because we don't know what's going to happen from day to day. We don't know if we're going to live tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to be healthy tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we need to plan for the people and the things that are entrusted to us every day.
Excellent. Huh. Now that you said that, Pastor Charles, and the rest of you, but I'm going to direct this at Pastor Charles. I have heard many times, I don't have to worry about insuring or saving ahead of time, because Jesus is coming soon. He's coming in our lifetime. How do you, and yes, He may. He may for sure come in our lifetime, but how do you tell someone who believes that Jesus is coming soon that it is still important to plan for your family? Because what if Jesus doesn't come within our lifetime?
That's right.
Yeah, well, I thought that 44 years ago. And now I'm 65.
Exactly.
So you know, I was baptized when I was 20. Mm-hmm. And I thought Jesus was coming in my lifetime. And or thought He was coming soon.
Yes.
And then 10 years go by, another. Now, He may come within the next year or two. He may. You know, you look around, but You know, what Sylvia said, you got to plan for the future, and you got to, I have health insurance, I mean life insurance, you know. I have a like 403B, you know, 401K, put money into that for retirement and things like that. No, you got to plan for the future. But let's remember this. In the Lord's Prayer, it said, give us our daily bread. Elijah was fed, right, in the wilderness during the drought by the ravens, right? And the manna, there was only enough for each day. Mm-hmm. If they try to collect twice, what happened?
Spoiled.
Mm-hmm. So you know, plan for the future, but no matter what situation you're in, God is the best retirement plan. Being faithful to God is the best retirement plan you have. Because if you have nothing, if you have Jesus, if you have God's blessing upon you, then you will have enough. Whether you have $10,000 in the bank at retirement or $10 million in the bank at retirement, it's all about the blessing of God. Because that man who had so much stuff, he had to build bigger bonds, so he tore down his old ones to build bigger ones to hold all this stuff. What did God tell him? Thou fool, this night your life will be required of you. So here again, plan and save and be smart and go to financial advisors and plan for the future. But don't think that that's a substitute for being faithful for God, because you're just fooling yourself.
We've talked a lot about money, but your theme tonight, the theme tonight has been stewardship. And is it limited to just time and money? What else is stewardship about? How would you describe a holistic view of stewardship? Elder Alex?
Well, you know, everything we have comes from God. We come from God. And He created us. And so we get to give back to Him everything we have and everything we are. And I believe in a time of crisis, it reemphasizes our need to put God first. Mm. Put God first. So I'm just trying to recap that.
How would you describe a holistic view of stewardship?
Right.
Is it just limited to time and money?
No. It's everything I have, my resources, my talents. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're smart here because God gave us wisdom, right? Everyone who lacks wisdom asks God. So everything we have, any chance we get to give back to God. Yes, we give Him the 10%, but the other 80 plus percent, we still want to spend in a way that glorifies God. Yes, we come to church on Sabbath, but when there's no pandemic, but
it's true.
But our whole life belongs to God, so we want to invest the whole thing. I find when we are laboring together with God, partnered with Him, joined with Him, then we have more fulfilling lives. So it's not just time and money; it's everything we have. It's all our talents. It's all our resources. It's everything we have that we use to bless God. And we feel better as a result of doing something that blesses other people rather than just keeping it all to ourselves.
Oh, you just touched on a good segue into the next question in blessing other people. Right. Here's a question that says, can I use my tithe to give to someone in need? Does it have to go to the church? What about if I know that someone needs finances? Yeah. Can I use my tithe to give it to them?
Well, listen, the tithe belongs to God. The offering, for example, I am supporting. I discovered there's need. We're doing a lot of it with the orphanage in Haiti. I discovered something at the school. It's a school at the church I used to attend in Kingston in Jamaica. Long time ago, and you give that, but that is not in lieu of returning the tithe. The tithe belongs to God, mm-hmm. and the offerings you can use to support other ministries.
Yeah,
and it does not mean that if I give something to my sister or my brother because they have a need, then I take it out of my tithe. No.
Mm. Yeah.
No.
You know, sometimes those are like trick questions. And because, no, I'm not saying this, but as I think about it, listen, The tithe is already going to somebody in need. I'll give you an example. I get paid by the tithe. Last night, I was with my church and another organization called the Give Back Community, college students from Palm Beach Atlantic College in West Palm Beach. They had a group there, we had a group there. We've been meeting for 2 months now, Clematis Street in West Palm Beach, to minister to the homeless people. Mm-hmm. We bring them blankets, we bring them food, we bring them reading glasses, we bring them socks, we bring sleeping bags. So we were there, Sunday? We were there Friday night. Mm-hmm. The tithe money enabled me to go there with my church to help people in need. Mm-hmm. So God knows what he's doing. We don't have to improve on what God does. Mm-hmm. Don't say, well, I'm don't be God. God already takes the tithe and enables it to be used to help people in need. We don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. That's his money to do that. We could use our own to do that.
No, I just wanted to say that, you know, when you have someone in need, yes, you give your tithes, but, you know, I think we're mandated to help those others if we can. Right. We need to be able to say, okay, you know what, this person is in need. I'm going to see what I have to see if I can assist that person.
Yeah.
You still do what you need to do. You still take care of your home. You take care of your responsibilities. Mm-hmm. But then you also find a way to help others. And I think that that's what we need to do. We need to help community.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's part of, you know, being a steward.
One last question. Based on your experience as a nurse, I have a question here. What are your thoughts on being a medical professional working on the Sabbath?
What are my thoughts? Okay.
Not to put you on the spot. You're answering for every medical professional.
It's lawful to do good on the Sabbath.
Okay. That's always been a very tricky question. You know, on the Sabbath, Jesus helped others, right? And so it's important to remember that, you know, when you're helping others, you know, it may come, you know, it's such a difficult question. Sometimes you're able to let your supervisors know that you can't work. But there's other times where, you know, they're short and people are sick and, you know, you have to, you know,
you have to make way.
Make way to help others. So, you know, it's about helping others. It's about loving others. So I look at it that way. I mean, and some people would say, but then you're getting paid. But, you know, it is what it is, you know.
That's true.
You know, you're helping others. You have to help others. I mean, you know, if you feel that guilty, you could say, don't pay me. I'll just come in and take
care.
That's true, too.
But
that's how I feel. I mean, I was a nurse for a long time, so I was able to set my schedule. Mm-hmm. It was easy for me because I was not a new nurse, and I pretty much, you know, worked every Sunday, and, you know, so I was able to set my schedule. But not everyone can.
And what would happen if the whole world was Adventist? There'd be nobody in a hospital?
That's true.
To take care of the sick? Come on.
That's true.
It's common sense stuff, you know what I mean?
That is true. And what would happen to us? We work on the Sabbath.
Well, didn't Jesus say, when they accused him of breaking the Sabbath, he says, I am working and my Father is working, right?
Yes.
And that he healed on the Sabbath. And believe it or not, the people there, the leaders, they said, you read it. They said, go home. There's 6 days you can come back and be healed, but today's the Sabbath. Go home and come back on the other 6 days. That's how warped people's thinking gets. Come on, what are we doing?
Yes, you're right.
What are we doing?
You know,
we're making God into something that he's not.
And we got to take care of others, right?
Yeah.
We always have to take care of others. And that's a loving thing to do, you know, because sometimes it becomes, people become legalistic and say,
Oh,
I'm not going to do this because it's the Sabbath. But, you know, if it's helping someone, if it's preserving someone, if it's encouraging someone, if it's helping someone who is in dire straits that day and you need to go work in their home and help them, then we do it.
Then
you know,
we do it. That's
we just
right.
do it.
Listen, every paycheck I get from the conference, I have a hard time paying my tithe. I'm a poor man.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to borrow money out of my retirement account to pay my tithe at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it because I believe that it was more important to be faithful to God
Amen.
Than to save a few extra thousand for retirement. I'm telling you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not this guy up here preaching down on you. I'm down here, man. I'm the lowest of the low. And I do it. See, I'm a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
If I got to crawl into the gates of heaven, I will. But I've determined I'm going to be faithful to God. If they take away my car, if they take away my house, I know how to live because I've slept with the homeless people in the streets and I minister to them. If it comes to that, as long as I'm faithful to God, then that's what I'm going to do.
Amen. Amen. Yes, I hear you. Our time is up. And can I just invite each of you to give a closing remark on our topic here tonight? Elder Alex, I'll begin with you and end with you, Pastor Charles.
You know, I just think about Mary in the book of Luke, I think it is, in Mark, actually, where God said, she has done what she could. And what had she done? She'd spent a whole year's salary getting an ointment to anoint him for his burial.
Yes.
So in a time of crisis, we need to value God as highly as Mary did. And then Jesus said, she has done what she could. We want to do what we can, demonstrating or the way that we value God by the way we live our lives.
Amen. Sister Sylvia?
I just think that during a time of crisis, and even in your whole life as you're living your life, whether you're in crisis or not, you should always be in partnership with God.
Mm-hmm.
Always be in partnership with God and make sure that you're doing good and you're following his will. And then when you're in partnership with God, anything that comes up, you know, he will help you through that, and he will help you to provide the provisions that you need, you know, to secure your family, to help you get through whatever you're going through. But the key is to always plan, you know, always have a plan and have God in the center so that he can help you plan and let you, you know what it is you need to do next.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Charles?
Just remember that Jesus loves you. Don't ever forget that. And, you know, no matter what happens in your life, don't ever give up on Jesus. Even if you struggle with your tithe or Sabbath work and things like that, it happens sometimes. And don't feel like all is lost or God's rejected you. He'll never reject you. He's going to be, till the day you die, he's going to be reaching out to you and showing his love to you. So, you know, all that I said tonight, just remember, if you don't remember anything, remember, I'm telling you that Jesus loves you. And how do I know that? Because he loves me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much to our panel. Thank you for those of you who have texted online. If this topic has touched your heart tonight, if you would like to say, I am willing to give everything I have. I want to know more about you, Jesus. I want to know how you can work in my life when I give everything to you, even my last cent. I want to see your miracles abound in my life. If you are even just asking at this moment, how do I get to know Jesus better? Please text your name to stewardship at 954-388-8780. Again, that number is 954-388-8780. Don't go away. We are going to be blessed shortly after this panel transitions out.
Thank you.
think about how God is working in your life, I'm going to ask that you use this song of meditation that will be sung to us by the Edwards. And I ask that you really think about what God is calling you to do as you sit and think about what he's asking you tonight. And if you are feeling that tug from Jesus in your heart, please text your name to the pastor's line, 954-388-8780.
Their knees, talking to the air, words lost on a breeze. Some just see teardrops falling to the floor, just a waste of time, not anything more. But it's a all around, he calmed the storm in me.
And I remember when I cried out, he saved my soul. Some had the doubts, but I know.
A direct line to the throne room, 'cause you can find someone who cares, yeah.
And if you need some proof, I can tell you.
Wow, what a blessing. Thank you. Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we've been so blessed tonight. Thank you for your word. Jesus said, thy word is truth, and the truth shall set you free. Lord, thank you that we can be set free from fear, from doubt, from mistrust. And we can surrender all of that fear and doubt and mistrust to you tonight at the foot of the cross. And that we could accept power in our lives and strength and faith and hope and love. So, Lord, we trade everything that we are for everything that Jesus is tonight. And we ask that you would come into our hearts and live in us now from this moment forward, that we would be faithful in all things. Bless us now as we depart until we meet together again here. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
We want to thank you so much for joining us tonight for our second episode of Jesus at the Center of Crisis. Tomorrow we'll be having the third episode, and we invite you to join us then. In the meantime, please remember to text stewardship to 954-388-8780 to enter into our prize-winning raffle. God bless you, and we hope to see you tomorrow.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.